So with all that being said, today's a really special day because Daegun Chung Kim is going to give a sermon. And I, from time to time, like to give students opportunities to preach. It's a good opportunity for students to hear from a peer, and it's also a good opportunity for students, particularly those who are interested in going into the ministry, to have an opportunity to experience what it's like to preach. I've known Daegun, he's a senior, so it's about a little bit over 3.5 years. And I remember when he was a freshman, he was talking about how his parents are missionary. His parents, uncles and aunts, grandparents, all missionaries in Bolivia, and he really, he almost felt like guilty that he was here while they're doing all this work, planting churches. And so I told him, well, maybe we can plant something here. And that's when he was a freshman, started something called Latino Bible Fellowship, Bible study, yeah. And then later on, it became Latino Christian Community. It's just been really encouraging to watch his leadership and his perseverance in trying to get this ministry off the road. And then going on the mission trip to Bolivia, I could really see even another side of him, and just the confidence that both he and his brother have while they're communicating to other Bolivians. So we really have a wonderful opportunity to hear him preach today. But before he gets up here and preaches, I just want to pray for him and also for some of the other things that we talked about today. So let's pray. Oh, dear God, we thank you so much that we are saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, but it is your gift to us. And it's not by works, so that none of us can boast. Lord, out of all the religious affiliates in this world, we as Christians should be the most humble, because we realize that we are sinners, and there is no way that we could earn favor in you. There's no way that we could earn forgiveness. There's no way that we could earn our way into heaven. But we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who offers the free gift of forgiveness because he died on the cross to take the punishment of our sins, that you pour down your wrath against sin upon him so that we may receive its righteousness. And Lord, we just rejoice in that. And we pray today as we hear the message of salvation that it would motivate us as Christians towards greater worship and gratitude, and also it will motivate us towards obedience. Lord, we pray for those people who are not yet believers, that this message will touch their hearts and would convict them of the sin in their life and their need of salvation, and that they would humbly receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Lord, we thank you that we as a church can spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and we can spur each other towards communicating the good news to those people who have not yet heard. And so, Lord, we pray that we would think about people that we could meet up with and share what we learn about in our worship service and discipleship groups, that we can think about how we can express our love to them, even how we can invite them to events like the seminar on depression next week, and then the Good Friday service. Lord, we pray that in our presentations that it would be very obvious that we may not be, that we are not sinless, but we are authentic Christians, that you are transforming our lives. Lord, we pray for today. Lord, we pray that you would empower Daegun to preach with conviction, that he'd be filled with your Holy Spirit, Help us to stay awake. We pray that we would be alert to what your Holy Spirit wants to say to us, and that we would obey. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Deacon, come on up and preach. About 9:45, 10:45, yeah. The clock back there is, hasn't been changed yet.
Hello, hello. Yes, I think that sounds great. Hi, my name is Daegun, and thank you so much for coming. I know that a lot of my friends came today that, I told them to come please and hear this out, and a lot of new people came, and also people who have been coming for a long time are here, and I just want to thank you so much for being here and for giving this time as an offering for the Lord. I just want to start by reading the Word of God. We are going to be going through Acts chapter 15. So we are going to make use of the Bibles that are dusty in front of you, and we are going to use them. If you can open them, I know that they are half Chinese, half in English. So if you could open them to Acts 15, that would be great. And we are going to be reading them. So I think because of time, I'll just read it and you can just follow it in your head. So we'll read Acts chapter 15. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider these questions. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God had made a choice among you, that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God has done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things and have been known for ages.'" Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, you're just so wonderful and so great. I just want to thank you, God, with my brothers and sisters, that you have opened up the doors for the Gentiles, oh God. Thank you for allowing us to receive salvation. Thank you, oh God, for allowing us to receive the gospel. Thank you for allowing us to hear your word, and now we believe. Oh, Father, what a privilege and what a grace it is, oh God. Father, today I pray that you allow us to open up our hearts now to accept this truth and to really cherish it, to really love you, oh God, for it, and be so joyful and rejoice evermore because of this truth. Father, more than anything, I pray that you be working in the hearts of every one of us here, and that it may not be words of men that change their hearts, but your words that touch the hearts, innermost men in our hearts, oh God. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I have prepared so much for this sermon for an entire month, and I've been praying about it, thinking about it, and I came up with so much to share with you all. But I only have about 20 minutes, and I don't think I can share everything with you. So I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak 10 words more for every word that I say in your heart. But today we are going to be talking a very interesting topic, which is the topic of circumcision, and not only that, but the act of receiving salvation. This is an awkward question, but who knows kind of what circumcision is? Okay, those who don't, ask them. Don't ask me. Circumcision is basically a mark that the Jewish people had to bear in their bodies, especially in male genitalia, in order for them to be assigned, for that mark to be assigned for the Jewish people that they were the people of God. So it's like a covenant that God makes with human beings saying, do this and you will be part of my people. You will receive salvation and I will be your God. And we'll see scriptural evidence later on. But that's what we are talking right now. But a lot of times, I think in our lives, we make something similar. We want to bear some sort of physical mark in order to show our salvation, show that we are gonna go to heaven, show that we are worthy to go to heaven. And this kind of ideas of being worthy to be saved has come from many different cultures and is not a surprise, because all the other religions in the world, they teach that you can earn your salvation. I'll repeat that again. Every other religion in the world teaches that you can earn your salvation, whether it is by karma. You have to do many good deeds and to outweigh the bad side, or if you do something bad, you will get punished. Thank you. You'll get punished by it. And if you do something good, you will receive a good reward, and then you got to climb up the ladder, like in the Hindu religion. You got to climb up the ladder through reincarnation in order to receive salvation or reach that nirvana. And we are very familiar with these terms, and sometimes as Christians, we let that affect our faith. We start believing these lies. We start believing that we can be worthy of salvation. And that is exactly what we are talking about in Acts 15. When the Jews came to Paul and Barnabas, and they said, you cannot preach this. They actually have to be circumcised in order to receive salvation. But Paul and Barnabas were so outraged by this idea that they just started disputing. They were very angry, very, very, very angry about this lie. And I think we should also partake in that anger and shed away all those lies that our culture tells us, shed all those lies that we tell ourselves. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And hopefully it's a huge blessing, and my goal is to break all those chains that you have tied yourself in order to think that you're worthy of being saved. And I want you to cherish what it means to have grace, have grace and mercy of the Lord. Amen. All right, so basically what I want to tell you, everything starts from chapter 14. It says, and from there they sailed to Antioch, which is Paul and Barnabas, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declare all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Who is excited about this?
One, two. All right. So this is the joy that we partake on. Who is Jewish here? Raise your hands. Oh, that means that we are all Gentiles. Gentiles meaning that we are all heathen. That means that we are the outside, the other nation. We are those people who are not worthy to even partake of the laws and partake of the salvation that the Jews had. That is what it means to be a Gentile. It means the other nations. Anyone. It can be Chinese, it can be South American, it can be American, it can be African, it can be anyone. We are all Gentiles because we are not Jews. But now salvation has come to us. And that's why we rejoice. And that's why we come here to the church. Yeah, we talked about that. So now I want to talk about what it means to be circumcised and why is this so pervasive in the Jewish culture. And I want you to understand the Jews in this time, why they were saying these things. In Genesis 17, it says, this is my covenant with you. God is talking with Abraham and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. All right, this means that God is telling Abraham, saying, everyone after you, every male, has to receive circumcision, and this is my covenant. Covenant means promise. It means I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will be your God, and you will receive salvation. The only thing you got to do is receive circumcision, follow my laws, obey me, and you'll be saved. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord. Now he's saying, if someone else, if a stranger, which means a Gentile, comes and says, I want to have a Passover with you, which is a Jewish traditional festival, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. So he may come near and do the Passover. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. So no circumcised person shall be part of the Passover. There shall be one law for you, for the native, and for the stranger who sojourns among you. What I'm trying to say with these two passages is that before, in the Old Testament, in order to come to God, Passover means that we are cleansed. It's a sacrifice that cleanses the people, that says we are not guilty, that our sins are cleansed because of this sacrifice. In order for us, Gentiles, to be part of that, in the Old Testament, God said that we gotta be circumcised. All right? We gotta partake of this law. So a lot of us, sometimes, probably more like 90% of the world cannot partake of salvation or draw near to God without circumcision. And that was what the Pharisees were thinking, and that's what they believe, and that's why they said they cannot partake of God, they cannot partake of Jesus without circumcision. But then in the Word of God it says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all the rule and authority. In him you were circumcised." Now this is talking about a different kind of circumcision, which is Jesus. Now I think I need to slow down here. I might lose you for a bit. We are really not worthy to be in the sight of God, to be in the presence of God. We are really, even if we tried our best, we cannot receive what God has promised for us. It's not because of what we have done, all right? It's not what you can do to be saved. It's not what you may do or by acting well or by doing certain things that you can draw near to God. That was in the past. And God has proven that we always fail him, that we cannot fulfill everything that God wants us to do. And that's the truth. I want to ask you all, who has, I question myself if I should ask this, but in the church, but just in your head, who has told a lie here? Don't raise your hand. Who has stolen anything? I want you to think in your head. Have I stolen even an eraser in school, a pencil? Who has said something bad to another person, hurt them, killed them with words? I promise you 100% of us at least has done one of these three. We cannot be righteous by our own flesh and what we do. We need something else which is beyond us in order for us to receive this grace and draw near to God. And this is that circumcision that is made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is a mystery that I didn't understand for long, but I want you to understand that the circumcision of Christ means that we accept Christ in our hearts. That by his death, that represents my death, and by his life, we are born again in him. Now, these are very Christianese words, and I know that there are seekers here. But I want you to understand basically what I'm saying is by accepting Jesus in your heart, you don't need any physical mark because Jesus is already in you. Jesus, which is the ultimate sign of righteousness, is in you. And when God sees you, he doesn't see the whoever it is. He doesn't see the goon. He doesn't see Mark. He doesn't see John. He sees Jesus in you. Because that's the mark that you bear that says that you are a citizen in heaven. That's the mark that you bear that says that you are a child of God. And that's the only thing you need. Now we don't need any mark in our physical body. The only thing we need is a mark in our hearts, which is accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's it. Many people in our society, which I'm going to go to, For me, many times in our culture, we see a lot of brokenness, and I think that's because we try to save ourselves from our own sin. For example, I had a friend who said that she was rejected from a church membership because she was not baptized by immersion. Basically, the church said, you are not saved yet because you were not baptized by immersion. Therefore, you should be rebaptized. And for me, that was very hurtful to hear. Another friend told me that a friend of hers said that she was not saved because she didn't speak in tongues. And for me, that was very perplexing. And then other told me that in other religions, like in the Muslim religion, they have to go to Mecca and do certain rituals in order to be cleansed from their sin. And yet, even in Bolivia, which is where I come from, many people do this pilgrimage, and they basically go there on their knees until their knees give up in order to atone for their sins. Now, these things may seem a little bit hard to even grasp and understand, and we may say, oh my goodness, you know, at least I'm not like that. But I want to tell you something. We do it too, even if you don't notice it. Some of us may be inclined to self-punishment, self-harm. I do something bad, and therefore I need to inflict myself some harm. I need to, you know, go to my room and just stay silent. I need to yell at myself and tell myself that I'm just dumb. I can't do it. That why am I failing? I'm never worthy. Other of us can give up on pleasurable things. So we start, we stop eating. We start inflicting ourselves emotional wounds and telling ourselves that we are really nothing, that everyone hates us, that I sin and therefore no one will forgive me. And lastly, others believe that they can attain the favor of God by doing good things, the right things. So they say, I'm going to read the Bible every single day. I'm going to come to church every Sunday. I'm going to go and do community service to atone for my sins. Does this sound familiar? Because a lot of us, I think, we are trapped in that idea that we can atone for our sins by ourselves and that we can attain salvation because we do something about it. And that's a chain that I pray that the Holy Spirit may break it from you today. I need to disclaim something, that I'm not saying don't do these things. I'm just trying to pinpoint the reason why you're doing these things, because that reason is wrong. Why we do these wonderful things, why do we come to church, why we read the Bible, is because we love Jesus and because we thank him for all that he has done for us, because we know the grace of God and we understand that grace, and that's why we do these wonderful things. But it's not to attain salvation or to atone for our sins. I want to tell you the greatest news that the world has ever seen, and this is it. If you could read it for me, those two verses, that would be great. And please read it with as much passion and conviction as you can. So, 1, 2, 3. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is thereby killing the hostility. I don't know how to express and convey this excitement with you all. And I don't know, like for me, this is the most beautiful news that I could ever hear. And I really want all of you to grasp this and understand it. That we just need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What does that mean? That means that we surrender to God and said, God, I really do not deserve any of this. God, whatever I do to my body, whatever I try to do to attain salvation, nothing can work. Because salvation is really only through faith. Father, give me faith in order to believe. Father, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Give me faith. And that's it. And we don't pride ourselves for our own bodies or from our pedigree, our ancestors. But we pride ourselves because of what Jesus did already on the cross, which is dying for our sins, which is that he took your punishment. Instead for you to take that punishment, he took it on that cross. Instead of you dying, he died for you. And honestly, okay, I'm going to go off script because I think it's boring to go with script. I'm sorry, Pastor Paul. I watched this this video of people being hurt by words that people have told them long time ago, like 10 years ago, when they were 12 years old. And these people were like saying that they hurt, like the most painful thing that they heard in their lives was that their mother or like their father said that they were stupid, that they were dumb, that they could not be smart enough. And those things were carried over for many, many years. Even till this day, when they are like 40s and 50s, they still like are affected by it, and they think that they are not good enough. Today, I want those lies to be broken. I want those things to be cast away, because Jesus says that you are more precious than his own life. Jesus says that you are more beautiful than anything else he has seen. Jesus says that you are perfect in his sight, and that you're worthy to receive this grace of salvation. Jesus says that you're so precious, so beautiful, so wonderful, that he'd rather give his life away than see you go into perdition. That's our Lord. That's who we serve. That's who we sing about. This is our Lord, our Savior, who loves you so much to the point of dying. And this is something that we need to understand and grasp and thank the Lord for it. So what I want us to do is that to give today a time of reflection for what Jesus has done for us. And what the only thing I want you to do today, if anything, is to bow your head right now and just, I want you to, if your heart allows it, to pray with me. To pray with me and kind of accept Jesus Christ in your heart today. And I promise you, you will never regret it. This is something, the most important thing that you can do in your life is accepting the Lord of Lords, accepting your lover in your heart. Accepting the one who loved you so much in your heart. So let's do that as we bow our heads. Father God, I just thank you, God, for today. And honestly, my words, as I said, are not powerful, oh God. My heart cannot convey the joy, oh God, that you have put in my heart. But the only thing we can do, oh God, and we ask you, is that you come upon us, oh God, and show us your power and your grace in our lives. Father God, we pray that you be coming into our hearts, and whatever barriers we have set before you, whether it be logical barriers, whether it be self-worthlessness in our lives, whether it be me not thinking that I'm good enough, Father, we cast them all away. We cannot get rid of these thoughts even after years and years of dwelling with this. And we know that these scars cannot be healed on our own. But Father God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit may be coming to us, which is your presence. Oh God, that Jesus, you may be coming to us and comforting us. You say that if we confess with our mouth that you are the Lord, you will be in us and that we'll be saved. Father, today may your presence be felt in our hearts and your power may be seen through our lives. Oh God, even after we come out of church and in our daily lives, oh God. So I thank you and I praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm almost done. So the next thing that we can do, so we did the first thing, is to be thankful about what Jesus has done in our lives. We don't do this enough, and we don't grasp the depth of it as much as we have to. I think the grace of salvation that is given and opened up to us Gentiles, I think is the greatest thing that you can be thankful for. And again in Acts 15:3 it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy. They caused great joy. And we ought to rejoice in the Lord always, always when we sing this song. And hopefully today we are going to practice it, this aspect of our application, which is when we worship right after this message, we're going to sing, and I pray that you'll be singing with this thankful heart. And lastly, we ought to share this joy with other people. It's not fair that you receive this wonderful gift of the grace of God and not share it with other people. If it is truly a wonderful gift that you have received, and you have received it freely, why wouldn't you give it to other people? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him who they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Today, you have heard the message of the Word of God, which is the salvation through Christ alone, of what he did for you, not of what you can do for yourself. And I want you to do the same for other people. You don't have to, I mean, I'm not the prime example of like eloquency or good presentation, but I know that every one of you can do this. So before we close, I want to pray once again in a prayer of sending you out in order for you to share this good news to other people and break the chains that you have felt being broken today, and do the same for others. So let's bow our heads and we're gonna finish the message with this prayer. Father God, I just pray that today you'll be sending us out in order to reach out to the world and really share this message of your love. Father, I pray that this glorious news may not be buried in our busyness, may not be buried, oh God, in our own thoughts or in our own self-worthlessness in that sense. But Father, break us through for us to share this wonderful news to other people that we love. Father, this is the truth that you want us to know, and that you want us to know that you died for us, that you took our blame, and you gave us your righteousness. So, Father, I pray that in every step of the of our day, in every walk, whoever we meet, we may shine this light for others. And, Father, I pray that you be granting us with the words and the courage to do so. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.